Maybe the biggest concern in the church today is the apparent lack of the Holy Spirit's power. I mean, when I read the New Testament, I see that the Holy Spirit is supposed to change everything. And when Jesus was on the earth getting ready to die, he gathered his disciples together and Jesus says, "I will ask the Father to send you a helper, the Spirit of truth, and he will remain constantly with you." Now let's jump forward a couple of thousand years to today. We go to a building, we sit in some seats, and we sing a few songs. A guy delivers a polished message, and then we go home. Isn't the same Holy Spirit available for us? Then why is it so different? Don't you see, this is what God wants for us today. Encountering the Holy Spirit changes everything.
Would you help me welcome our campuses that are joining with us today? Come on, let's do it. North Campus, like we're glad they're with us. We welcome you today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad you're there today. Whatever campus you're at, thanks for coming. And we believe that God's going to meet you there today and that your life is never going to be the same. Great things are happening. We are excited about what God is up to through Love and Truth Church, and we are thankful you're there today. Hey, listen, we're going to pray together today. Let's prepare our hearts to receive what it is that God wants to speak to each and every one of us. Would you just pray with me? Father, we thank you today for every blessing and every benefit that you have given to us. We come in this moment and we just say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you today to touch us, to speak to us, to encourage us, to allow us to come to that place where we are filled with your fullness and with your power. So in this moment, we ask you, Lord, come in this place today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. How many of you believe this statement today that's on the screen? And that is that I believe that God has good things for me. How many of you believe that today? Would you just, campuses, join us. Would you just say that with me? I believe God has good things for me. Come on, let's say it again. I believe God has good things for me. Can we do it one more time? I believe God has good things for me. I really believe that today. Now, we're talking about encountering the Holy Spirit. And we began that last week, and I kind of set up the parameters of that. If you were not here, just go online on our website or on YouTube or Facebook. It's on there somewhere. You can find it, and it'll talk to you about what I talked about last week. But we're going to continue that today. In fact, at the end of our service today, we're going to give people the opportunity who want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit for that to take place in their life. Now, how many of you want everything that God has for you in your life? Amen? I think that's a no-brainer. To me, that really is. And the Word of God says that about the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's called a gift. How many of you love getting gifts? You like getting gifts? I love getting gifts. Sherry and I were traveling, several months ago, and we went into a jewelry store. And I'm not much on jewelry, but I do like watches, okay? And so this gal was showing me some watches, and she was showing me watches, and she kept, "You like this one, you like this one, you like this one." And finally, I found one I liked. And I said, "Yeah, I like that one." And so she pulled it out and said, "Well, try it on." I said, "Oh, I don't know." And she said, "Oh, no, try it on." And so I tried it on. They're pretty smart in those jewelry stores, by the way. I tried it on. And she said, "Go outside and see what it looks like." Now, she really was trusting. So I stepped outside and I looked out and thought, "Man, that looks good." And then I went like this, and there was a little tag down here, and I pulled it out, and it said $20,000. I said, "Well, hallelujah." I walked back in, and I just said, "Sherry, don't you think you want to give this to me?" When she saw that it was $20,000, she did not bear witness with my spirit at that point. And but you know what? If you want to give me that watch today, I'll be right back there at the back waiting on you when service is over because I like gifts. Now, what I'm going to talk to us about today is a gift that's much greater than a $20,000 watch or a $50,000 car or whatever it is that you can think of. I'm going to talk to you about the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to read some scripture to you real quickly. The book of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse says, this is John the Baptist, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33, again, John the Baptist speaking, and I myself did not know him. He said, I didn't know Jesus, but the one who sent me, God, to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. See that baptize thing again. Acts 1 and 5 says, for John baptized with water, but Jesus said, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:15, one more verse and I'm done. And it says this. It says, as I begin to speak, this is the Apostle Peter talking about preaching at Cornelius' household. He said, as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. We talked a little bit last week about baptize, that the word baptize is not a religious word necessarily. It's a Greek word that means to dip or to plunge under. In other words, it means that we are submerged, that we are covered. Now, you can be covered. When we baptize in water, we put you all the way under, and you are baptized. You are submerged. But how many of you know, how many of you know that I'm a little crazy? My brain goes places. I have always said that I want to have a baptismal tank that not only is the normal baptismal tank, but I want to have one on the other side that's a waterfall. I want to have a waterfall over here. So could y'all start working on that? I want to have a waterfall over here, and you can just walk through the water and be baptized too. See, because you're being covered from on, come on, don't miss it. You're being covered just as much over there as you are over here. You're being inundated or submerged in water as you go through it. One comes from on high, one you lay down in, all right? And so as you begin to understand that, to be baptized in or with the Holy Spirit suggests about us as believers that our whole personality is immersed in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God lets us know in the book of Acts that when the Holy Spirit came, something happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 2 said, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so what we need to understand is that the effects of the Holy Spirit could be seen and heard. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to know that you got it. You're going to know that it has happened in your world and in your life. Now, let me say this to you. Please understand that I know, first of all, that some of you have never heard anything like this. I understand that. Secondly, I know some of you have been taught for many years, well, you got to understand, that speaking in tongues and all that stuff is not of God, it's of the devil. Can I just talk to us for a minute? Why in the world would God start something and then let the devil hijack it? All right? Don't you think God's bigger than the devil? Don't you think he's greater? I mean, when the devil got a third of the angels, all God did was say, out. And they all were gone. So he's more powerful than the enemy. So if he's more powerful than the enemy, he can give you the Holy Spirit, and it's not something that's negative or evil. The other side that I see a lot in the body of Christ is that we just tend to ignore it. It's kind of like if we ignore it, it'll go away. Well, why would we want to do that? Why, if there is something that is available to every believer, if there's something that is available to every Christian, why would we want to ignore it instead of saying, I want everything. I want every blessing. I want every gift. Now, understand this. Hear Pastor carefully. I'm not talking about salvation today. I believe that when you come and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you're saved. In that moment, the Bible says that when you confess him with your mouth, you are saved. You come into relationship with him. You can't be kind of saved. Amen? Have you ever heard anybody say, she's kind of pregnant? Or she's a little bit pregnant? No. She's not a little bit pregnant. She's pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. I mean, there's no in between. You are either saved or you are not saved. It's just that simple. And so when I come in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm saved. When I'm baptized, the baptism doesn't save me, Scripture says, but baptism is about obedience. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Why? Because it's about obedience, following the Lord in everything that God has for our lives. But that is not the only baptism that Scripture talks about. It also talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 lets us know that on the day of Pentecost, that when the Holy Spirit was outpoured, that there were all kind of things happening, but there was one thing that took place there. It says, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now watch what it says. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit enabled them or gave them utterance. Acts chapter 10 says Peter going to a Gentile household. These people are not Jews. He goes to a man's house named Cornelius, who's a Roman soldier. He goes to his house and he preaches, and the Bible says that as Peter is preaching, that the Holy Spirit fell on them. And here's what they said. They said, we know that they received the Holy Spirit because we heard them speak with tongues like we did at the beginning. Acts chapter 19 says that Paul, the Apostle Paul, found certain disciples of John the Baptist. Now watch what the question was that he asked in chapter 19 of the book of Acts. He says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit, look at the next word, since you believed? Now think about that for a minute. Why would you say since if you got it when you got baptized or when you got it when you got saved? He doesn't say that. He says there is an experience that is after salvation. There is an experience after conversion. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? It's a very, very good question. I'll ask you today, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you believe? If you have not, it's your gift. God wants you to have it. He wants you to receive everything that He has for your life. What you've got to do is be ready to receive what He has for us. Somebody says, well, Pastor, why would God have us speak in tongues? Because He's God. And He can. But let me give you a little theological background. The book of James says this about your tongue. The book of James says that your tongue is the most powerful instrument in your body. How many of you remember growing up in school? They may have changed it by now, but when I grew up in school, there was a little saying that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the dumbest statement ever. Here's what I know is some of you today who are listening to me, you are carrying wounds where somebody spoke over you something they said to you 40, 50 years ago. Your body healed up, your broken bones healed up, but those words that were spoken over you, why? Because the tongue is powerful. James said that the tongue is set on fire from hell. That's pretty graphic there, isn't it? And yet, the Lord takes that same tongue that's set on fire from hell, and He uses it to empower us with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you some things about when you pray in tongues, when you receive this prayer language. If I could just use that terminology for you. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive a language. It is a prayer language. It is something for you to use in your time with God. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me stop for a minute. It wasn't a few. It was all. If I'm a believer, then I am a candidate for the baptism in or with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord today, the first thing you need to do is ask Jesus into your life. But once you've done that, you are now ready to receive the gift that He has for you. So why is this? Why does Scripture talk about it? I'm going to give you six things real quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. The first reason that we pray in tongues, we get this prayer language, is that it activates the spirit. You are a spirit being, whether you know it or not. In fact, let me say this. You are a spirit being having a fleshly experience. You know, you have people say, well, the Bible says that we are body, soul, and spirit. We need to reverse that because your body is going to lay down. Right? One of these days, you're not always going to have this natural body, but you're always going to be a spirit being. And so the Word of God says that when you pray, the Apostle Paul said that when you pray in the Spirit, when you exercise your prayer language, he said it's in that moment that you are activated. Why? Because we are spirit beings. Above everything else, you are a spirit being. All that you've got on it, can I just use it this way? This will make a lot of us feel better. All that, when you see me, you don't see me. You just see my space earth outfit. You know, when they got ready to go to the moon, they gave them a space suit and they had a moon suit. This is just my earth suit. Sherry and I were on vacation a while back, and I was eating a Krispy Kreme donut in my space earth suit. And she was helping me to do better. Can I tell you what I told her? You ready? I said, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't run around with men or women. I said, if all I'm doing is eating a Krispy Kreme donut, I'm okay. It's just my earth suit. It's gonna lay down. Some of you got lost there, don't get lost. The Bible says you're gonna get a glorified body. This one's going to be, if you don't know it, I don't mess your world up. If you don't know it, you're dying. Now, not today. Don't freak out. Not today. But all of us are going to face that. So it activates our spirit because we're a spirit being. Acts 2:4 says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's direct communication with God. The Spirit is enabling you to directly communicate with God Almighty. How many of you know sometimes you don't know how to pray? Right? The Bible says that there are moments we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, it's not of us. It's not what we have. It's what God is doing through us in those moments. The Holy Spirit, now some of us need to get this. The Holy Spirit creates the language. I don't create the language. All I do is allow myself, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, I allow myself to be anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number three is that the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, praying in your prayer language, energizes us. How many of you need to be energized? Right? Come on. We need the energy that comes. Ephesians says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us. Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 at the Mount of Ascension, he said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive power. The word power there is the word, Greek word, dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite, but it's also the word for where we get dynamo, which is creating energy. It is something that happens in us. When you receive this power, when you receive this gift that you get, there is something that happens and energizes you. The fourth thing is that it brings forth the purposes of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God's purpose to be fulfilled in my life. Amen? It brings forth his purpose. Let me give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for anyone who speaks in tongue does not speak to the people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. All right? So I just put that down, is that it brings forth the purposes of God. I'm going to explain that mysteries to you in just a second. Here's what it means when it talks about mysteries. Mystery is about the revelation of God's kingdom purpose for your life. When the Spirit does a work in you, it brings forth the revelation of what it is that God wants to do in your life. Now, I have people who talk to me quite often, and they say, Pastor, we really like your church, but. And I always get nervous when there's a but there. All right? And they'll say, that's speaking in tongues. I just don't know about it. Now, first of all, let me say this. We believe that that's to be done decently and in order. we don't believe you need to, you know, just take off at the drop of a hat in a service on Sunday morning. That's not the place. There's a prayer closet. There's a Wednesday night service for that, et cetera, et cetera. But we do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We do believe that God is still powerful. We do believe that He's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, that works on the inside of us. And so when we begin to understand that, we become hungry for everything that God has. The fifth thing that it does is that it provides understanding in our lives. Paul, again, 1 Corinthians 2, he says, who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now, think about it this way. I don't know what the purpose of God is. I don't know the mind of the Lord. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Lord? Right? So when I exercise my prayer language, then the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to me. In those moments, ideas and inspirations come from God. All right? Let me quickly talk to you. Just hear this. There are many times in my life when I'm preparing sermons or something's going on in the church, I don't know what to do, and decisions need to be made, that I want to know what to do. And so maybe I've studied a text and I've read the commentaries and I've read books on what everybody else says about it, but it's just not making sense. It's not fitting in my brain. What I do is I leave my office and I come right in here and I just walk around and I pray in the Spirit. I don't pray natural prayer. In that time, I don't say, now, Lord, I'm right here today and I need you. I don't pray that way. I pray in the Spirit. And I can tell you invariably, I don't know of a single occasion that I've done that I didn't get unstuck. There would be a thought. There would be an idea. There would be, the Lord would remind me of another. I mean, it was just, I've never heard an audible voice. God didn't show up in some kind of, you know, smoke and vapor. But there was just this insight without it. Sometimes it happened in 5 minutes, and sometimes it was a lot longer. But as I did that, God began to give me His ideas and His understanding in that moment. He can give you warnings. He can give you cautions as you pray in the Spirit. Last one is that it builds us up. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but one who prophesies edifies the church or builds up. So when you pray in your prayer language, when you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and again, it's a biblical term. It is something that the Apostle Paul said happens after conversion. When you do that, then it's in those moments that God begins to do what only God can do. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't understand. I got it. I know it's a concept that's sometimes hard to wrap your mind in. How many of you say, I would like to have God's power in my life? Again, I think that's all. I'd like to have God's power in my life. How do I get it? How does the power of God come into my life? If Jesus told the apostles who had been with him, who had walked with him, who had done all kinds of things, if he said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive power, then there must be something to this understanding of power. And so I came across this illustration a while back, and it's the best illustration that I know in trying to bring it in a conceptual way to us. How many of you have ever been to maybe Pickwick Dam or Kentucky Dam, one of those places, and you've driven across there and you've seen these great big bodies of water? Anybody ever been across there? And there's this, maybe you've been to Hoover Dam out west and all those kind of places, okay? What's happening there, you're seeing a lake on one side, and what's interesting is that the lake side is real smooth, right? And then there's this dam, and then way down here, there's water that's flowing, and it's kind of usually a little bit turbulent. And I began to think about that, and I thought, you know what? This is the same, because what you are not seeing is what's happening inside the dam. All right? There's a hydroelectric plant. In fact, they're going to bring a picture up. There's a hydroelectric plant that's inside that dam. It's the same way that you and I can come to an understanding of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The reservoir is the Holy Spirit. The high side, it comes from on high. It's that waterfall that's going to come down. But there's a gate there. See that gate? That gate keeps that water from generating power. I've had people for a long time tell me, well, preacher, if God wants me to receive that there baptism in the Holy Spirit, he's just going to do it. No, he won't. He wants you to receive it, but you've got to participate. You've got to let the gate up. You say, how do I let the gate up? What do you mean? Well, first of all, it's in your mind. You've got to determine it's for you. But also, if you're going to receive your prayer language, you got to open your mouth. And that is where the gate comes open. That water, when you open the gate, then that water flows down and it hits that turbine there, okay? And that turbine, to me, begins to turn. When that water flows, it begins to hit the turbine. For those of you that are really particular, the word is turbine, but we call it turbine in the South, all right? And so it begins to, that turbine begins to move, all right? Now, let's picture this. The turbine is a picture of your tongue. When the Holy Spirit comes, it begins to move. And as it begins to move, what happens in the natural is it begins to send something up into a generator that begins to generate power. That power, now watch this, that power is of no use as long as it stays in the generator. See, the one fallacy that I see with a lot of people is they think that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is all about them. I told you last week, listen, today is June the 9th. It is 50 days after Easter or after Passover. It is, according to the church calendar and the Jewish calendar, today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the inauguration of the church age. I told you last week that Pentecost is all about harvest. It was a harvest festival. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not about us receiving something. It is about us getting something that we release and we send it out. And when the power goes out, then the lights come on. When you and I, Jesus said, when you receive this power, you will be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So when you receive this gift is not about so you can speak in tongues. Don't miss that. You speak in tongues, that's a byproduct. If it was about speaking in tongues, here's what we'd do. We'd all get you in a Spanish class and we'd teach you. Because you need to learn it to communicate in our society today. We'd teach you Japanese. We'd teach you something that it's not about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the sign of what's happening inside of you so that you can go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch what happens with Peter and John in Acts. It says that Peter and John were on their way to prayer after this encounter. They are on their way to prayer. They see a certain lame man at the gate, beautiful, who said, give me some money. They said, we don't have it, but what we do have, we give you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the scripture says, instantly the power is released and the man is healed. See, that's the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is that the church can once again become a life-changing institution that's making a difference in our society, in our community. I promise you, bring somebody to church and let them get up out of a wheelchair. Bring somebody to church and let them get healed of cancer or of AIDS or of any kind of addiction in their life. And you will not have to tell anybody else, because they will tell everybody else what God has done on their behalf. the way for the church in America to make America change and get back to what are our godly roots is not by us standing and holding petitions and being angry at people. What takes the place of being angry and electing this person or that person is when the church gets anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit and we are seeing lives change for the kingdom of God. Then we'll make a difference in our community. Amen. So we got to understand that the scripture there says that we are built up. Well, how am I built? Well, let me just say this to you and I'll wrap this up. You are responsible, according to scripture, to build up yourself. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. It's your responsibility to edify, to be built up. I'm going to say this, I'm going to pastor. 30-second pastoring. Ready? 30 seconds. Time me. Ready? Come on. Ready? 30 seconds. I'm going to pastor. 30 seconds. Go. Here it is. Anybody that leaves the church saying, I just don't get fed there anymore, does not understand this scripture. Because the only people that have to be fed are babies. Well, let's keep moving. The Holy Spirit, when you receive it, generates a power that's inside of you. I want the power of God. How do I receive my prayer language? Let's do this. Just write down these three words and I'll explain them. Write down the three words. Ask, believe, and speak. Ask, believe, and speak. All right? So just write them down and then lay that down because I want to talk to you. In the book of Acts, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, Jesus talked about it on numerous occasions. One of those occasions was a day when he was talking with religious leaders. And he looked at them after he had taught them for a season and he didn't feel like he was getting anywhere. And he looked at them and he said, hey, if your son asked for bread, would you give him a stone? And they went, well, of course not, Jesus. We wouldn't do that. We're good men. He said, okay. What about this? If he asked for fish, would you give him a snake? And they said, what's wrong with you? You've lost it. Of course not. Now watch what Jesus said. He said, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask him the Holy Spirit? Oh, wow. How do I receive this gift? I ask. I believe that it's for me. And I speak in a language that the Holy Spirit creates. But I'm going to do the speaking as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. It's needful for us to understand that this is not a gift that's just for super spiritual people. It's for everybody. I got a note from my nephew. He's 6 years old. It's Jake and Anna's. It says, Dear Uncle Eddie, now part of this I'm going to have to get the interpretation in the spirit here. That's when six-year-olds write. Six-year-olds always put hearts on everything. You ever notice that? It's hearts all over the back. But it basically, what he's saying is I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Got that between service. You know what? I know he can. You know how I know that? Because when Sherry and I, when Ashley was 6 years old, 5 years old, when Ashley was five, I just got corrected, by the way. 5 years old. Thank you. When Ashley was 5 years old, we were in a service. A man literally was singing. We were in a little shotgun building in Adamsville. And Ashley was at the front row by herself. And we looked over and she just began to worship God as a guy named Ron Jones was singing. And as he's singing, all of a sudden, she receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit at 5 years of age. See, it's not how old you are. It's not how spiritual you are. It's not how wonderful you are. It's just understanding. I'm his child. He's my dad. And he said he wanted to give me something good. And I want what my dad has for me. Amen. Now let me explain to you what's going to happen. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, I'm hoping you're going to pray this prayer when we pray this. But I'm not only going to ask just those of you who need Jesus to be your Lord to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer out loud together, even at our campuses. And as we pray it, I want you to mean it from your heart. Let's get pure and holy before God. We're going to ask God to forgive us of anything that's in our lives. Why? Because we want to get ready to receive what it is that God has. All right? And then we're going to go and do a little bit of worship. And then for those of you who would like to receive the Holy Spirit, we're going to give you that opportunity. It's going to be easy. It's your gift that God has. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And would you, not only at this campus, but at every campus, would you pray this prayer out loud with me? Heavenly Father, today I ask you to be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for my sins. I come today and I confess that I'm a sinner. I receive complete forgiveness right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you have forgiven me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, in Jesus' name.